Let's come to our God now in prayer. Merciful God in heaven, O Lord, you are the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You've taken us from the ends of the earth, gathering us from the farthest reaches, drawn us to you. You strengthen us, you help us, you uphold us. Grant that we may rejoice in these truths today. Grant that we might worship in spirit and in truth, that we may rejoice in our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Refresh us with the living water. Equip us for the battle. Bless your word to us today. Grant to us your spirit, we pray. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your Bibles now, if you would, and turn to Psalm 46. As we'll take a break from our series on Genesis this morning and turn to this psalm, which you'll find on page 649 of the Pew Bible, Psalm 46. Psalm 46 and the entire psalm. Hear now God's holy word. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song of Elamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth, who makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that concludes the reading of God's holy word. May he bless that in our hearing this morning. I'll encourage you to have your Bibles open to Psalm 46 for this morning. This will be our text. Psalm 46. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're 2 days away from a very important date on the calendar of history. If you don't know it, it is the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing the 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle. And so by nailing them, he is said to have awakened the church to what has been called the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther is known as the man who brought the church back to the truths of Scripture, that the just shall live by faith. He rediscovered a great and liberating truth that the righteousness of God, a righteousness, as we mentioned earlier, something that he feared, and trembled before is a righteousness that saves us. That is, God justifies us by faith alone, apart from any works. The righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. It's put into our account so that we're justified before God by faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone, so that it is just as if we had never sinned, or just as if we had always been righteous. Putting our faith in Christ does that for us. A wonderful truth, a liberating truth, something that we still treasure and hold to today. What is lesser known, though, about Luther is that he not only loved Romans and the study of it, he also loved the Psalms and loved to teach from them, even to the very close of his life. He especially loved Psalm 46. It's the psalm that inspired the hymn in the German Ein Fest Berg ist unser Gott, or a sure stronghold is our God, or as we sing, a mighty fortress is our God. This was the hymn of comfort, which he would often sing, as he would say to his co-worker, Philip Melanchthon, in times when he was weary and distressed, he would say, let us sing from the 46th Psalm, and they would sing it according to his rendition in what we know today as a mighty fortress is our God. And this is no wonder. The psalm extols the power and majesty of God. It speaks of his kingship and his triumph over every adversity, every foe, every obstacle. The Lord of Sabaoth is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What do we do when we're in trouble? We're to come to the Lord and spread out before him our troubles. And so consider Psalm 46 under the theme, a mighty fortress, the psalm of faith promising first the Lord's protection, secondly, his presence, and then thirdly, his peace. So first of all, his protection. We begin with the consideration of the possible threat of disaster. The way that this psalm opens up in the first part of it, verses 1 to 3, it begins to describe the potential for fearsome disaster. And this threat has led to the question of when was this psalm written? When exactly was it written? What was the occasion? Most Bible scholars think that it very likely was written in the days of Hezekiah, when the Assyrian army came to attack Jerusalem. This is spoken of in Isaiah chapters 36 and 37. You may remember how the Assyrian king, King Sennacherib, laid siege on Jerusalem, and he sent his commander, the Rabshakeh, as he's called there, before the walls of Jerusalem, and he told the people to surrender. Their God, the God of Israel, was not there to help them anymore. The threat was so great that King Hezekiah took this letter of communication that he had, and he spread it before the Lord, falling down before him, crying out to the Lord and asking for help. And the Lord answered him to the word of Isaiah, the prophet. And we read there that the angel of the Lord was sent, and 185,000 soldiers outside of the city of Jerusalem were slain by the angel of the Lord. This was a huge threat. And indeed, there is much that we see within this psalm that seems to connect to this occasion or something very similar to it, with the shaking of the mountains, as it speaks of there. The mountains may quake and the waters roar and are troubled. And it describes to us poetically that this is a world that is broken. It's a world that is out of sorts. There is trouble and all kinds of it. Earthquakes occur with the moving of tectonic plates. Volcanoes erupt and belch out their molten rock. Tornadoes, hurricanes, they bring about their destruction. Tsunamis rage and tidal waves come over the land. These are great, powerful forces. And even with our advanced technology, you think of medicine today and the great inventions that we've come up with, even with all our technology and advancements, still there's nothing that we can do to stop these powerful forces. We cannot stop bad things from happening. With all our intelligence and advancements, we are constantly under threat. And that is because, as you know, the scriptures speak of creation being under a curse. It groans and labors with birth pangs together until now, waiting redemption, as Romans 8 speaks of. It's waiting for its deliverance from him who subjected it to futility and hope. We live in a fallen world. This is not paradise. This is not Eden. Catastrophes are always near to us. We know this. And that's not only true for creation that is under bondage, out of sorts, and out of joint. It's also true in the world that we live in. There's the hostility of the nations. There are wars and rumors of wars. We live in a kind of world where anything terrible can happen at any moment, and it's causing anxiety. You know, you read the headlines in your news feeds or watch the news, if you can bear to do that every day. And there is so much turmoil. Every day brings terrible news. It's a sad and dying world. You know, you think of the culture that we have. We live in a culture of death. There's so much pressure nowadays to approve euthanasia. Not just aborting unborn children, but euthanizing children. Euthanizing people who wish to die or take the lives of their own flesh and blood. World leaders are diametrically opposed to the Bible, and it can feel like such a threat to us, can it? It makes us think of Psalm 2, where it says, "Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us.'" And yet this is where the Lord has placed us as his church, in this world. In the midst of this turmoil, the Lord has put us in enemy territory. We're facing enemies. The words of Psalm 46 are meant for all time. And you know this, congregation. This is not paradise. We're in the middle of a battle. We're the church militant. And that's why when Martin Luther and many of the reformers were in the face of trials and church courts having to defend themselves, Psalm 46 was their battle cry. It said that when Luther led the Germans to the truth of the Reformation, he also taught them to sing. The congregation would sing. They would sing the songs. They would sing the hymns that he wrote as they sang them together in praise to the Lord. And that's why this psalm is so particularly helpful, because when everything goes wrong, it can feel like the mountains falling and the earth reeling. In such a time, It's a profound comfort that although everything seems shaken, there's one place where we can be secure. And that is under God's shadow. God is a refuge. And the word refuge there means he's a shelter. He's the shelter from the storm. He's the shelter from the world that threatens us. He's the shelter from all the awful things that happen in this world. And it makes you think of the bunkers that were made during the war years, where people would go down and hide while the bombs were falling. They had a shelter, a place of safety. He's the source of strength. He's the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Like Isaiah 4 says, for all the glory, over all the glory, it says, there will be a covering and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge for a shelter from storm and rain. And it's for that reason that we do not fear. Though this world may be a fearful place, and though there are many concerns and threats, we will not fear, for God is a refuge. It's why you can hear the words of verses 1 to 3 in, of Psalm 46 in Luther's hymn, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal." So God provides shelter. He provides protection. The first thing that we see here within this psalm, and it leads us to what we see here secondly. He also promises his presence. Over against the watery chaos of verse 3 is God's river of verse 4. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. And this river is said to be a constant stream watering Zion. And this is true, of course, on two levels. Some may wonder why a river into Jerusalem is being spoken of here, because if you look at the map, there is no physical river that you can see that goes through Jerusalem. But there is a spring. It's called Gihon, in the Kidron Valley, and there is an underground tunnel, even to this day, you can still see this. There's an underground tunnel that was made during the days of King Hezekiah to bring the waters of the spring into Jerusalem. And it fills the pool of Siloam, spoken of in the New Testament, which was a pool of water that was present during the days of Jesus. You may remember that as he healed people in his ministry. A river like this, being hidden underground, would have been great help to Jerusalem in the days when it was under siege, under attack. They always would have water, even if they were trapped in the city. And yet we can't read this reference to the river without seeing that this earthly reference has a much wider meaning and scope. For in the midst of this city, there is a tabernacle of the Most High, which is the name for God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. And it makes us think of the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. We think of the book of Revelation here. So much of the city of Jerusalem, the physical city, with its types and shadows, picture the new heavens and the new earth, where the Lord reigns with his people. God's presence is in his holy temple in heaven, where his saints gather around him and worship him. And there's also a river Revelation 22 speaks about that. The Apostle John says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore the 12 fruits, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." This is the city for which Abraham longed for, whose builder and maker is God. And his presence is seen further in how God defends Jerusalem. Since he lives there, when the sun rises in the break of dawn and the nations march into battle, God is Jerusalem's security. Look at that in verse 6. "The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted." The raging nations make us think of the world filled with its trouble, the world at war with God and his church. We're in hostile territory. There's no question about this. But God is our deliverer. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. For the Hebrews, this would make them think of how the Lord would deliver them in the battle that they were in. As God was their warrior, their prize fighter who fought for them, and in the dawn of the morning, they would witness his power. It makes us think of in the book of Exodus, you know, after the Lord had brought his people through the Red Sea, they saw their enemies engulfed in the sea. That's how God reassured his people that he was with them. "For the Lord of hosts is with us," verse 7 says. He's the Lord Sabaoth. That name that's used in Luther's hymn, "A Mighty Fortress." It has nothing to do with the Sabbath. The word Sabaoth means hosts or armies. He's called this in the original Hebrew Lord Sabaoth, which means Lord of hosts. He's the God of armies. He has his heavenly hosts, his angelic army with him. He's the warrior who leads us into battle. And he's the God of Jacob, the God of grace. We remember in the book of Genesis how God chose the younger over the older, though we would have preferred Esau. He seemed like a greater guy. God chose the unlovely, Jacob. God is the God of grace. God is present. The Lord of hosts is with us. He is Emmanuel. And that's what Isaiah talks about, as you will remember. During the Syrian invasion, there is this promise of the Messiah coming, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the warrior image that we find again in the hymn that Luther wrote in the second stanza. "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle." Our Emmanuel makes us think of the Lord's presence in our fight against sin, Satan in the world. As Christ has come in the flesh as our warrior king, he's God with us. He's present with us through his Holy Spirit. He braces us for the end of time, when the day of the Lord will come. We'll all face the Lord. at the end. The world will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt away with a fervent heat. How will we stand on that day? May we all be able to say that we stand in the Lord's presence, the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, the Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts is his name. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And so we're promised here the Lord's protection. We're promised the Lord's presence. And it leads us to what we see here thirdly within this psalm. We're promised his peace. In verses 8 and following, we have this invitation to come and see the works of the Lord. God brings his judgments, his desolations. He stops wars. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot. He's above all earthly powers. Like Isaiah says in Isaiah 2 verse 4, he sees the day when the swords of battle will be broken down or beaten down into plowshares. The book of Revelation describes how the chaos of history will find its lasting peace in the new heavens and the new earth. Just think of all the wars that have been fought and all the money that's spent on warfare, the resources put towards arsenal and weapons of warfare. So much energy, so much money poured into this. Think of how all that energy and money can be put into peace. But God's kingdom will eventually triumph over all the wars. He will bring an end to them. His kingdom is forever. And how does that peace come? It comes through the Lord Sabaoth, the right man on our side. This psalm is calling us to come and to see his work. We're a couple months away from that, singing some of the hymns that speak of that. Come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. Come and see Bethlehem. See what the Lord has done. And if you want to see the Lord's work, then you must look at what he has done through his Son. We're to come and see his incarnation, what took place when he came in our flesh, to see his baptism when he began his earthly ministry, to come and see his work on the cross, where he defeated sin and Satan, to come and see his death tomb, where he conquered the grave, to come and see his resurrection, where he powerfully came from the dead, to come and see his ascension when he was received by his Father into heaven, and to come and see his return when he will come again to judge the living and the dead. If God can do this, what is there that the Lord can't do? And then the psalm speaks to us of that peace that comes in our hearts. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Relax. Keep calm. And rest in the Lord, because he is God. He is your peace too, if you come to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. How does that peace come? It's when we know God. Not just in the sense of knowing him theologically. It's letting his peace settle in our hearts. It's knowing him. It's our security and stability in the storm. He is exalted. The word, therefore, exalted means to be lifted up and to be raised high. And we can think of a victorious coach being carried from the field by his team, receiving the praise of all. We know that this will take place ultimately when Christ comes again, and when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And then that psalm ends on the refrain of verse 7. Verse 11 says it again: the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our help. Is God not big enough to help us in our personal problems? Is he big enough to deal with the threat of nuclear war, the racial violence, the volcanoes and hurricanes, shifting plates and rising waters? The God of Psalm 46 commands his army of angels. He's with us in the midst of a raging, bent world, through chaos, through wars and rumors of wars. He's the Lord of hosts. He is exalted in the earth. Indeed, God is our refuge, and in him we are secure. Even if we lose everything, congregation, that's what faith is. Even if we lose everything, Christ is our reward in whom we trust, so that we can sing, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." What a beautiful psalm. Is it beautiful to you? Is the Lord Almighty with you? Is the God of Jacob your refuge, as he was for Martin Luther? Make sure that he is, because the storms of life will come. And the greatest storm is his final judgment on the last day. Make Christ your refuge. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, O Lord, for your word to us today, for this psalm, which speaks so triumphantly of your power and might, as you are our majestic God, the one in whom we can entrust ourselves. Lord, we thank you that you have sent to us your Son, Jesus Christ. You call us to come and behold his works. He has done great works. Lord, you have accomplished great things. And therefore, if you have done so much for us, what is there that you can't do? Help us to entrust ourselves to you today. Grant to us your blessing. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.